You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
All right, welcome. Everyone, this is CFRC 101.9. This is The Far Field. This is your show for experimental electronic music. And today, I have a guest with me in the studio. This is David Parker. Hi, David.
Hi. Hi, John.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. So,
thank you.
I played some of your music on the show before, and you are definitely an influential character in the local experimental music scene. You're working with the big component of the Here Improvisational Collective.
Thank you.
And putting on a bunch of shows. So thank you for coming on. And what's new with you these days? What's going on?
What's new? Hi, listeners. It's a good question. Lots of stuff. I don't know where to begin. I could start with this week. This week, I submitted a grant with my partner, Jane, who's a circus artist, and we're trying to develop a show. We had a grand residency, so we did a four-day artist residency at the Grand Theater in Kingston, the two of us. She's a hand balancer and circus artist, and I do music. And so we're working together on a show, like trying to build a full-length show with sort of around 10 to 12 performers of movers, hand balancers, like dancers, hand balancers, and musicians who will all kind of work together to create, to investigate failure and as like a, as like a theme.
Yeah.
So we applied for a grant to do that in the spring, like kind of continue to create it with a larger group. That's one thing I've been doing. A really exciting thing I've been doing, I guess 2 weeks ago, I just finished a remix of Stefan Christoph, who's a friend of mine I play with, and then Aiden Gert, who drums for Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Okay, nice. Yeah. So
they did a bunch of sessions and sent them out to artists to remix them, and I'm doing one of the remixes, and Kamaru was doing one of the remixes. Kamaru's a really...
Oh, yeah, from Ethiopia or Kenya? I can't remember.
I think he lives in Berlin, and I think he's from Nairobi, but...
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really, wow, I'm really privileged, lucky to get to do that. And
is that being released on a specific label, or how does that come out?
Probably eventually, but I don't know the specifics, and maybe they don't know yet.
Great. Well, that's exciting. Well, congrats. Yeah. Seems like you're always a busy guy. You got tons of stuff going on. Recently, the Here Collective, you guys did a show most recently at Next Church. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we did one at the Spire, too, in September.
Yes. Was it the Spire? Okay, my mistake. Yeah, I'm sad. I think there was a bunch of stuff going on that week, so I couldn't make it out, which I was really disappointed about, because it seemed like a really cool event. Was that the vocal improvisation event?
We have that. At the Spire was New Hermitage from Halifax.
Oh, yes. My mistake.
Yeah, they're great. We do have a vocal improv event coming up in October, and the details are not yet announced, but we can chat about it. It's still getting figured out, but that's in October with Christine Duncan from Toronto. And we did a... Here's been really busy. That's where I've been putting a lot of my time. New Hermitage was great. They are from Halifax. They're a four-piece sort of chamber improvising ensemble of woodwinds, harp, cello, and this time percussion, but often a guitar. They were on a little mini tour. They're great. And we had local artists Matt Rogalski, Paul Clifford, and Kyoko Ogoda, who all did amazing. We did a show in August with Xiao Xuan, who used to, and Graham Beverly, both of whom were Kingston, like former Kingstonians, who were active in the Artel scene.
Mm.
Yeah, they did a great show, and they had Liam Fenton, Moss Rock, open. Also a really sweet show, and a lot of like old Artel folks came out and for that one, so it was a really good vibe.
Great. Well, I think we'll definitely talk more about that project later. I'd love to kind of hear some more of the kind of your insights on that. But let's just give the listener an idea. What are we listening to right now underneath of all this?
Thank you. Yeah, that you we're playing Witch's Butter, a release of mine from this year. I'm so happy that we're playing it. It's something I'm really proud of. It's track one, mm-hmm. and it's like an 11-minute song called Invariant Form of the Intuitable World.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, referencing, if you're curious, referencing an obscure phenomenologist from the turn of the century, Edmund Husserl. That's where that title comes from. I did my undergrad in philosophy.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was really moved by the existentialists and the phenomenologists, and him in particular.
Okay, great. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
This is a really fun album. So we're going to, I think we'll let this track play out.
Yeah.
And we come back, we'll talk more about some of the stuff you brought with us. You brought a couple special items, but I'm very excited to get into these.
Yeah.
And we have also some other stuff we'll be doing live here in the studio, which I'm also excited for. So stick around, listeners. This is CFRC 101.9 on the Farfield with David Parker. We'll be back after this track for more chats. Great.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. So we just heard the track Invariant from the Intuitable World, from Witch's Butter. So that was great. So that was earlier this year, is that correct?
Yeah, in March.
Yes. And that was that a long process to put that album together? I was reading the liner notes. It seemed like it was a kind of a good, like a good well thought through, but like it was a good project. Yeah. Like, did it take some time kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it took a ton of time. It took... I mean, I started writing it and tracking it in January 2021. And I don't always remember the exact dates I start things, except in that case, I started dating all of my music projects in folders on my computer. So, yeah, January 2021, it began. And I mean, yeah, the Coles Notes version, I finished tracking it in like May. I sent it to get mixed by Jason Mercer, and that took a few months. Well, maybe not. He's really fast, but I think the process, the back and forth, was maybe 2 or 3 months. Then maybe 4 or 5 months of finding remix artists and remixing it. I worked with an illustrator to do a design. Then worked with an artist and designer to do the artwork. I actually worked with a manager, which I had never done before. A really great person. So I had worked with a manager for a while, and then a mastering engineer.
Yeah.
The mastering took a while, not because he was slow, but because I had to raise the money. And in fact, like, yeah, the last year of the whole album release was like just slow due to raising the funds to afford it. Yeah. And then released it and did a video, worked with like, well, Jane, my partner, to a dance, a mover, to make a music video, and then a small tour, and assembled a band to perform it on a small 4-city tour in March of this year, which was when it got released. So it was super lengthy. I don't always do that.
Well, I think it was worth it for this project, and definitely. And did you find it paid off for you to kind of go through the extra steps of getting it mixed by someone else and mastered and all that? Did you find that to be a rewarding process?
Yeah, I did.
Because in the past, I know you have a lot of releases before this. Mm-hmm. Was it generally just self-produced, or how did this compare to some of the other albums and tapes and releases you've done previously?
That's a good question. Each one's been different. No two have been identical. So it's hard to kind of encapsulate an answer to that question. That,
yeah, because each one is different. It's kind of like you're comparing to each different release, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're on a spectrum. I guess they're on a spectrum of complex and elaborate and professional to DIY and done at home and done with like as little budget as possible. And so therefore like a very small run. So they're on this spectrum.
Yeah.
But in the middle, like kind of 2016, 2015 to 2020, I worked with Matt Rogalski as a co-producer of some music of mine, which sounds different than what we just heard. It was more singer songwriter, like lyrics and that kind of verses and choruses. And, those were like the most I had ever done in terms of like thinking professionally about it and trying to go like make it sound just as good as possible and take it as seriously as possible, which meant slower, you know, more time, more input. But even in those instances, I didn't work with like Matt kind of did a mix and a master. This was the first time I went to East End mastering on Witch's Butter, which was a great positive thing. But a different mix artist, a different mastering engineer. Yeah, whereas with Matt, he just did the whole thing. He tracked it, he recorded it, and then he mixed it and mastered sort of all in one. Which is maybe the closest thing to Witch's Butter, just in terms of that. And then with one of the ones with Matt, I also had like an artist do the album artwork. So often I just do the album artwork on my own.
Yeah.
Which is better. I worked with Ben Nelson, who was great, who does a lot of the Here posters. He's just so...
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So easy to work with. And
yeah, those are great posters.
He does great posters. He does a lot of album artwork.
Yeah, I got one of his posters before. I went to see a show at the Wolf Island, Hotel Wolf Island, that was Portland the Oysters. There's this band from LA. He did the poster for them. That was really cool. And I think I might have seen one around, or a friend of mine saw one around, and just kind of, like, she knew the event was over. So I think it was somewhere she was working. She just took it out of the window. She's like, this is a nice poster. I'm going to take this home now, because they were really nice. He does great stuff. But yeah, that was great. So, and I actually have a question about this album. Mm-hmm. That we just heard about Witch's Butt in particular. So I was reading the liner notes, and I wanted to ask if you could kind of expand on this concept that you were talking about. So in the liner notes, you talk about there's this mention of what you call maximalism, and that was kind of the, I guess, mindset or kind of a way you were approaching this album. And I thought that was an interesting term, because I've heard of, you hear about a lot about minimalism, and that's kind of a classical movement and that kind of thing, but I don't hear people talk about maximalism a lot. So can you kind of expand on what you meant by that and how that fed into the album?
Yeah, absolutely. I first came across the term when it was 2014 or 15, when I started listening to Sunno, or I guess people call them Sun. I don't know if you pronounce the O, but it's S-U-N-N space O, and then a bunch of right angle parentheses, like three right angle parentheses is the band name. What are their names? Greg Anderson and Stephen O'Malley, I think. And then sometimes they have other people playing with them, but those two core band members are Sun. So, yeah, they describe themselves as also like you are. I don't know if you've ever heard of that musical genre or style. Like, I'm not sure if it's related to no wave no wave, like 80s New York, sort of proto Sonic Youth kind of. I loved Sonic Youth growing up. That was like in high school, that was like my band. I had 20 albums, and like I was really influenced, especially in my guitar playing. So Sun play a lot of guitar at high decibels in concert, like sort of famously loud. Like another famously loud artist that I can think of is Merzbow from Japan. But Sun play like famously loud with huge stacks and like multiple stacks of amplifiers. I've never seen Sun live, and I am very sensitive about my hearing and hearing loss and stuff. So I probably will never go see them live. Conscious decision to just not, because it just makes me uncomfortable. Like I put in earplugs like if ever I feel like, oh, I'm maybe gonna have ringing ears tomorrow. So yeah, I'm very conscious of it, and but really intrigued by the compositions and the tones that they get when there's very high gain.
Yeah, there's something about the high gain approach, even if you're listening to a recording, just something about the way that the instruments and the electronics kind of behave when you push them so far. Even when you listen back on a recording that's not as loud, you can still kind of feel that. And, if it's mixed and mastered in a way, so I can understand how that's a part of the sound in a way. That's really, that reminds me a little bit of composer, I think his name is Phil Niblock, I believe.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of stuff that's kind of drones, but apparently really loud. And his music is interesting because it's very drone driven, kind of microtonal. He'll have just a couple flutes that are looped in such a way, and people just sit in a room and just, watch his, I think he plays video and film footage he has of just in the field of, people on various different parts of the world just farming and stuff, and then just blasting flute sounds. And that sounds like a cool experience, but I'm the same with my ears. I don't necessarily want to go, and then the next 3 days I have ringing ears. So I'd be tempted to put in earplugs, but then I feel like that defeats the purpose of the performance in a way.
Yeah.
But it's, you can always, I guess the recordings are always a good way to access these things too. But yeah, so Sun was an influence for kind of this idea of maximalism for Witch's Butter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The tone of Sun, I've been interested in kind of emulating or like experimenting with for a long time. And then I came across another guitarist named Jenks Miller, who releases music as, sometimes under the name Jenks Miller, other times under another name called Horseback. I don't remember the name of the band, but they had an album. He had an album, which also moved me a lot in a very similar tone. And when I heard that, I just wanted to do it. And that's when I began writing Witch's Butter. What else can I say about it? It's It's Drone. Sun are like heavy metal. They put out an album called Pyroclasts. So that and the Jenks Miller project were probably the biggest influences of which is better. So Sun's album Pyroclasts. So Sun released an album called Life Metal, which is a lengthy, like 60-minute album of guitars, synths, bowed upright bass or bowed cello or something, and then some bass, other like instruments. And then they a year later released Pyroclasts. So Pyroclasts was not the outtakes, but like the warm-ups during the Life Metal sessions. And so the warm-ups were just a simple instruction to like basically play more or less one note for 10 minutes each, like each day at the start of every session, at the end of every session, just sort of play mostly one note with whoever was there. And that they released four of those as an album called Pyroclasts, which was like really moving for me, really big influence.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that. And I thought, let me try that. It was the pandemic and I was doing it alone. So I just overdubbed and tried to do that. Tried to play like mostly one note, but then I sort of can't help myself and I have to like hear harmony and I'll harmonize with myself. And that's the explorations. That's what you're hearing. That's what we just heard. Just kind of in
so
its best way.
So how would you describe the writing process for something like this? Because I think when people think about writing music, they think of someone writing a pop song. They'll sit down at a piano and sing and play some triads and stuff that's kind of fairly fairly known or fairly familiar. This is definitely something that's very different. So is it more of a textural approach? Do you kind of sit down and are you trying to discover textures? Or how can you just describe what the process is like for writing this type of music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of overdubbing. So a lot of music I make is improvised. So when I sit down to record, sometimes I won't have a plan in terms of the structure of the song, but I will set up a tone that feels and sounds interesting that I feel comfortable or interested in exploring for a particular amount of time, depending. In this case, they were mostly 10 minutes. I went in this case and said, okay, I'm going to do it for 10 minutes and then just did a performance, an improvised performance on an instrument. I used guitars. I used this cardboard bass, box bass with rubber strings that you can plug in.
Oh, wow.
That was really distorted. It's only on the one song we were just listening to. The other songs don't have it. And it just would always feedback. So it's that chugging you hear. Synths. Sometimes my voice, sometimes MIDI instruments. One of the songs has like a MIDI trumpet, which is just, I'm just playing it on a MIDI keyboard.
So is the process then you pick a tone, a texture, say it's the electric guitar, and you kind of set everything up with your effects. You do the full 10 minutes and that's one take or maybe, and then you will move to a different texture and do another 10 minutes and overdub complete takes in that order and kind of build it up that way. Great. And so do you find that when you get to, you know, after the first one, you get to the second, third layer, do you find that earlier layers influence how you interact with the music in subsequent layers? Like, do you find you're reacting to what's already being played back, or are they relatively in isolation? I mean, I guess that's another question too. When you're tracking subsequent layers, do you hear what's already been tracked as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a clear distinction between one or the other. It's both. It's always both. So if I'm overdubbing, yeah, I'm always listening to what else is there and integrating the live performance into the sound that's been laid down. So the only exception is like the very first track. And so the very first thing I'll think of as like the centerpiece. So the very first time, the very first track is like the centerpiece and everything will support it.
Yeah.
The first one is the statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In a way, I mean, hard to say because I made this album and it's two and a half years later and I'm doing something entirely different. So the process to this is I just did it once. Like the next thing I moved on to was a whole different process.
Yeah.
This is the only time I've ever done the thing I'm describing to you, right? And to everybody right now. I just did it that once. And I was curious about it. But then once it was done, I was curious about something else. So yeah. Does Great. That answer your question?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was Invariant Form of Intuitive World. We got it.
Yeah.
That's from Witch's Butter. And so where can people find this if they want to stream it? Do you have physical copies? Where can people go?
Yeah. They could come to me. I've got some physical tapes remaining, but not many, which feels good. You can stream it anywhere. You can stream it on Spotify and Bandcamp. And apparently it's on other streaming platforms, but it's so weird. I've never done that before. It's apparently on all of them. So I guess it's on Tidal and Deezer and there's dozens.
YouTube Music and
iTunes. I think it's there. iTunes Music.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know.
Great.
Let me know if it's not there. Because it's supposed to be there.
Then you got to send an email if it's not there.
Yeah, exactly. File or a help request.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I wanted to, let's maybe think about some of the other stuff that you brought in now. Because we just heard, so this is your most recent release that people can listen to. But you brought us in a special treat today. You were telling me this is some new stuff that you've been working on, this tape here. Is that correct?
There's one other release that occurred after Witch's Butter and before what we're about to hear. So that one is called Music Versus Capitalism.
Okay.
And I don't have physical copies. It was released by a label in Niagara area called Vacancy Rex.
Mm.
And it's a split release with a Swiss artist named Tonto.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's explorations on primarily one synth with some drum machine, and one track has a slide guitar, just a little bit. Mostly it's this synth that I've been learning the last year, which I didn't own when I made Witch's Butter. So that got released in June or July or something. And then this coming week in September, I'm going to release an album called Emotional Research. I had meant to do it in July, but things conspired to make it not possible. So it's coming out now. It's a trio with Del Steven and Liam Cole. We did a session in September 2021. We had never all played as a unit before. We did this session, we recorded it, felt really great. And so now it's being released, five of these songs, and on a tape cassette called Emotional Research. We tried to arrange a performance of it in July in Peterborough. Actually, even more. But anyway, things got scaled down until Stephen couldn't make it. So Liam and I went to Peterborough and played with Michael DeGay. He had a residency at Jethro's Bar. Did a great gig. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, here is, Emotional Research. So it's definitely on tape cassette coming out next week. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to hear some of this. Thanks for bringing this in.
I'm Justin Evangelo, cancer survivor and visually impaired new programmer at Trent Radio, hosting a show every Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. called Disenabled. I have less than 1% vision in my right eye, and I love making radio every single week, getting people's voices out there who have similar physical disabilities.
Remember, no one has a disability on radio.
Welcome back. So that was new music from David Parker. So what can we remind the listener what we just heard there?
Yeah, that's emotional research. David Parker, Del Steven, Liam Cole. The track you heard, Liam wasn't on that one. He's on, I think, three of the five. So you heard Magic Erase Tape. And so it was just Steven and I doing a little jam in Liam's house.
Cool.
Before he got home from work.
And that's coming out this week.
Yeah. Probably just on tape cassette and on digitally on Bandcamp. So you'd have to find that on davidparker.bandcamp.
And people can go there to get the tapes as well?
They can order them online. They could talk to me, and I'm gonna maybe see if I'm gonna have one, give one to CFRC, and they can hear it here, and maybe at Something Else Records.
Oh yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing that onto the show for us.
My pleasure. It's so fun.
Okay, next thing up, for listeners of the show, if you've heard this before, you know that for the past few weeks, I've been trying to put together a live improvisation on my shows just to kind of be a little creative and kind of do some fun stuff. And, well, even though we're here in the studio with David, I thought we could keep the tradition going. So I brought in a synth, and I was going to open it up to you if you wanted to experiment on this guy and play around.
Yeah.
Sound good? Okay.
Yeah, you've
got
a nice setup.
Pop over here now.
Should we tell the listeners what it is? Or should we just do it?
If you want to start noodling, I will stay on the mic and explain it.
Okay.
We just have a little analog synth, a little monosynth with a Korg Monotron doing some weird delay and effects. And so it's just a bit of a noise sound kind of improv here. We'll just take this, we'll let this go for a couple minutes of playing around and see what we get. Thanks for that. That was really cool.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was tons of fun. Love playing around with a good hands-on synth. That's the first physical analog synth that I've ever had, and it's been a lot of fun to play around with. So I know I kind of threw it. I threw you in the deep end there with the synth that you'd never used before. Like, here you go. But you did great. That was really fun. Some really cool sounds there. Yeah. How did you find that little setup?
Oh, it was sweet. Thanks. I owe you a thanks for bringing in fun toys, fun instruments to try. I love it.
Great.
Just love it. There was a release show for Witch's Butter in Ottawa, and it was co-presented by a group called Switched On Synths, which I really recommend for you and your listeners. They do meetups, and they do... there's also like an Ableton users group. I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool.
That are related. And anyway, at the concert, there was a bunch of synths out that you could just try. And I think they had the East Beast, which is what you have brought today. Mm-hmm. A bunch of other stuff, like some semi-modular and some other all analog synths, as well as guitar pedals, too, that you could just try out with headphones. So there's this whole like listening tryout booth.
Oh, wow.
And it was just up the road from a synth store called Cicada Sounds.
Okay.
Cicada, like that.
Oh, like the insect?
Like the insect, yeah. Cicada Sounds. And they sell modules and synths and guitar pedals and stuff.
Yeah.
And Empress Effects, which is a guitar pedal manufacturer whose headquarters are in Ottawa. So anyway, they were there too, at a booth kind of, and tons of fun. So before our set, we were all trying out all their cool synths that they brought. So that kind of reminded me of just now, where like, yeah, thrown in the deep end, just put on a pair of headphones and just see what comes out.
Just play around. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should definitely make a trip up to Ottawa. The thing that also comes to mind, very unrelated, but the other thing I'm getting a little more into is playing some bluegrass with a friend of mine. And I know he's saying there's a bluegrass jam in Ottawa that he's been wanting to go up to. So it'd be nice if there was maybe we should form a Kingston analog synth improv, you know, collective thing like here. That'd be fun if we just had a place people could come and just play synths and that kind of thing. I could only offer the East Beast and the Korg Monotron for the time being, but I'm sure there are other people in town who have a lot of gear and that kind of thing. And they're definitely out there. I know even at the Witch's Butter Ensemble show, you guys had a good selection of synths and stuff going on. So there's a crowd. There's a crowd in Kingston, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would love to do that. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Well, if we do it, I'll announce it on the airwaves for sure. Our listeners will be the first to know. But yeah. Well, that was great. So let's move on to the other tape that you brought. So this is some stuff that you've been enjoying and listening to lately.
Yeah. Thank you for... Yeah, giving me the chance to bring some of this out. This is, I'm into field recordings and creative recording techniques and acoustic and electronic instruments, analog stuff. So I found out about this label called Dinzu Artifacts because of an artist whose name is Henry Birdsey. He's from Vermont, and he plays all kinds of stuff. He's also a recording engineer. And I found out about one of his albums, which is just a bunch of mic'd kind of tubes, like PVC tubes or metal tubes that he just hits with mallets. And it's like, it's excellent drone music. Like, they're so reverberant that you don't hear the mallet hits. You just hear these long tones. Anyway, so found out because he has a band called Tongue Depressor. And so I wanted that. And they're from the label's from California, called Dinzu Artifacts. And three tapes was like really cheap to mail. I'm like, I'll just get three. So I got this random one, but it's my favorite. The artist is Maddie Barbier. The name of the album is This Is What People Think Mountains Look Like. It's one 40-minute song on the trombone, but recorded in a special facility where there's just tons and tons of reverb. I think it's maybe Well, it says recorded at the Tank Center for Sonic Arts in Colorado, Wrangley, Colorado, in 2021. Yeah, and it's like you, more than the trombone, he's really playing the room. He's really playing the reverb, so yeah. I like it. It almost sounds like there's multiple trombones, and maybe, in fact, it was overdubbed, but nonetheless, like, yeah, I just really like it.
Okay.
So we'll hear a little piece of it.
I guess we'll get a play in, and yeah. You were saying maybe we could just play this a bit while we chat out for, have a little chat for the rest of the show kind of thing?
Sure.
Yeah, this is great stuff. I've also really been getting into the field recordings and that kind of thing. This actually, at least what you described, reminds me a lot of the Paulina Leveros album, Deep Listening. Mm. She just went into that cistern somewhere, and I think she had an accordion, and she went with either a trombone or trumpet player, and then a third person as well, and they just really used the acoustics, which was a really cool thing. So I love when people do that and they use the space. Mm-hmm. And there's some really great field recording stuff out there, really fantastic. But before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about the Here Improvising Musicians Collective a bit more, because that's been really great, and we talked about it a bit earlier, I know, but yeah, can you tell us a bit more about how that came about in the first place?
Good question. I don't remember. Let me think. That was a year or two years ago. How did it first come up? Oh, I know the answer to this. So I guess it was 2020. There's a musician in Kingston. His name's Paul Clifford. Normally you'll see him playing jazz. He plays the upright bass in a lot of jazz groups, and sometimes he's played with the Gertrudes. And I started realizing he plays more than the upright bass when he was doing a duo with Matt Rogalski on synths called Local Urchins. And they played for us at 12 Cat. I used to be a member of the 12 Cat Arts Collective.
Yeah, I remember that.
So Local Urchins did a gig there, and also a gig at Homegrown Music Festival. So Paul Clifford was a master's student at Queen's. Matt was his supervisor, and he studied improvising music in Kingston. And he assembled 16 musicians to take part in his research group, and I was one of them. He had Dave Barton, like some jazz people, some classical music people like Sadaf Amini, and a classical music professor at Queen's, John Burge. He had Spencer Evans from like the kind of the jazz world, Teilhard Frost from like the folk world. He had myself and Liam Cole and Chantel Thompson, who also is a jazz singer. Liam Cole plays, maybe you know, or maybe your listeners know, he's like a drummer. He's in a million groups. Like,
yeah.
like a lot of rock, a lot of Princess Towers and, you know, everybody. But it was the pandemic, so we couldn't all... His plan was for all of us to get together and improvise together from these different traditions. But it never really happened at first because of the pandemic. So we had these Zoom meetings where we had, like, readings to read, some of which I really liked. Eventually, we had jams, and I only went to two, I guess. And at one of them, Chantel was there. I had never played with Chantel before, but I found her to be like really open and like broad-minded about her artistic interests, although coming from like a jazz music world. And everyone, like, I love playing with everyone, but in particular, like, I found Chantel's comments helpful often in our talks. And Liam Cole was an old friend of mine who was also participating, but I never played, like, I didn't interact with them in the context of this group. Like, for every meeting or every jam, there was only sort of four or five in attendance, although the pool of people was 16 musicians. Anyway, it was fun, and it inspired me, and it made me think, oh, there's actually, if we didn't think about genres so much, there's actually, like, a broad group of musicians in Kingston who all have some common interests that bridge genre.
Yeah.
And it made me think maybe there's some way that we could explore that and keep this going. I was very inspired that Paul had done this initiative, and because he's connected to these different musicians who I wasn't, I was meeting new musicians and finding out that there's these commonalities or interests. That's sort of where it came from. So I thought, oh, let's apply for a grant and have, and put on concerts and do workshops where we teach each other.
that was kind of modeled on different groups I've been involved with in Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax. The most relevant of which was from Halifax. There's a group called Suddenly Listen. So I've been aware of them since my days at CKDU Radio in Halifax, like 15 years ago. But in 8 years ago, I took part in some of their workshops. Norm Adams and Tim Crofts are a cellist and a pianist who kind of spearhead these workshops where visiting artists will come and kind of lead a workshop, kind of teaching or sharing their process of improv and kind of giving a little bit of instruction and feedback to the participants who come to kind of help them like further their process and practice. Genre agnostic, so it didn't matter what you played. You could bring any instrument or no instrument, but the idea was that it was participatory, and they throw you in different, you'd play solos or in duos or trios, and it would get spontaneously arranged, and they'd say play for 2 minutes or play for 3 minutes. And I found it really challenging and really rewarding. Like, it really changed the way I listened, and I ever since I've wanted to do more of it. So I brought that idea to Chantal and Liam and said, can we do this? And they're like, let's do it. At the time, to get a grant from the Kingston Arts Council, you needed a collective. Otherwise I would have just done it, but we needed a collective. So the three of us became a collective and got the grant. That was like almost 2 years ago. Didn't start doing programming until April of this year. So we, in that time before that, before April, we applied for another grant, which we got a logo, like had a bunch of meetings, planned out kind of a schedule and that sort of stuff. So that's where it comes from. And it's been a lot of fun. And I said most recently at our workshop that I'm hoping we're building capacity so that we can do this on our own without needing or relying on visiting artists to kind of keep it going. So just to kind of grow our own capacity that we can kind of lead and keep facilitating this so that it continues to happen, whether or not grants money comes in, just to be able to have a bit of a backbone or whatever, like a bit of a pool of whatever money or capacity that we can keep it going.
Yeah, well, super cool. Yeah, I've been loving the shows, and I think they've been some really great programming that I think is unique in the community. Some great stuff, and it's been great to see some more experimental and kind of alternative genres and some more diverse genres with that, and also with Mikey's No Static series. You can check out No Static on Monday nights for listeners at home, but he's also been great, and so I've been really appreciating those shows, the things happening at the Spire or Next Church. And if for anyone's listening who's not familiar, there's at least something going on once a month between the Here Collective or No Static, and yeah, it's really encouraging to see these sorts of things happening in Kingston, because I know I was talking to some people saying that before that there was 12 Cat for a bit, but there seemed like there was a gap, kind of pandemic, post-pandemic, where there wasn't really a lot of experimental music or things like that, and so now there's a lot of opportunities, and so I encourage everyone to get out there and engage with the workshops, which are great as well, and yeah, they're fantastic. So great work on all those shows. It's been really good, and I like look forward to the programming coming in the future as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we're getting close to the end of the hour. I want to say one more time thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah,
this has been a lot of fun. Really appreciate hearing about some of your process, some of the ways you approach things, hearing about the collective and just talking about music and that kind of thing. Thanks again for coming on. Do you have any final words to mention to people, things coming up, ways they can follow you, or things they should do to kind of check out your work and your music?
Oh, well, I thanks. The biggest thing was, yeah, I'm releasing this tape next week called Emotional Research. Check that one out. I have a gig at the Mansion on November 11th, playing with other local acts, plus a touring act. The other locals are Fast and Bill Jobs, both of which are electronic artists, so that's cool. That could be relevant. I feel like there's something else that I'm forgetting. I'm playing in Toronto at a series called Audio Pollination, October 13th at Array Music. But beyond that, it's wide open. So yeah, two gigs coming up. Release next week.
Two gigs coming up. Got a release next week. So we're anticipating another Here concert in October and November.
Yes.
And yeah, okay. Well, sounds fantastic. Check it out. And of course, on the streaming under David Parker and all the various platforms, and also on Bandcamp under David Parker, where you can get the new release, the new cassette, and or if we see you around, you can buy tapes from you as well at shows. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks again. Have a good night, everyone, and catch us every Monday on CFRC 101.9 for The Far Field. You can also check out my other show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. where I do world music with my host, DJ Nasty. That's 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. You can hear What in the World. Catch you next time. Have a good one.
On Saturday, September 21st, two perennial powerhouse programs in the OUA will go toe-to-toe at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Your Queens Gaels will host the Guelph Griffins. Last year, the Gaels...